World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, communion this morning. Go get you an element. I'll give you a chance here to go get you some bread and some water, because we're going to change it into wine here. And, man, been scrambling all morning. It's a good scramble. It is Friday, isn't it? Flea Flicker Friday. And I try to sit down and, you know, prepare a good... I just get overwhelmed. I send in the pre-show. By the way, would you like to join the pre-show? Would you like to join the post-show? Most amazing thing yesterday, my wife thought I was lost. She didn't know what happened to me because we stayed in the post show. I walked out at 10:35 yesterday. We were on here after the show for 2.5 hours. It's unbelievable. Now I'm thinking, what do we got here? A bunch of unemployed, retired folk? What is it? How can you guys sit in front of your computers that long? But it was glorious. And we got into some issues that, you know, are, it's all good. Folks, look, we got to come together, man. We got to come together. Divide and conquer is what the enemy is all about. And no matter what your deeply held religious belief is, give one another grace here, right? Is it possible you could be wrong? Is it possible? Have you looked at it from this perspective? And that's what we try to do here at Coach Dave Live. And 2.5 hours of a, it wasn't a free-for-all because we weren't fighting, but people got to say what they thought. And what about this? What about that? It was really good. And I really saw the value of what goes on here. So the Holy Spirit's been after me. I had a crazy 24 hours. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Crazy 24 hours. Back on, I did the Patriot Party News last night. Folks, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to move on. This whole, are you anybody picking up on this? And I'm not taking it, relax. Take a deep breath and relax. This whole Zionist thing is coming to a head. I don't know if you guys understand what's going on out there. Those who love Israel and those who are blaming Israel, it is coming to a head. Candace Owens, what's that other guy's name? Ben Shapiro, bigger hacks than me. Are beginning to weigh in on what they think is exactly what's going on. Because remember this, the Bible says there's great delusion coming. That because we've rejected the truth, the Lord's going to send a strong delusion. We're going to believe a lie. And I would just ask all of you this, same thing. I Googled today. This is stuff I want to get in here today. 42,000 different denominations. How can that possibly be? I can't even think of 42,000 different things to disagree over. Can you? But there are 42,000 different denominations. You think I'm making that up? Trust me, we're not. So I got some really, really good stuff, and I thank you for the prodding. And Betty, you sent me some really, really good stuff, especially Betty doesn't always do that, but she's given me some really, really good stuff. And here's part of what my issue is. I think, Lord, this is really good. How do I work this in? How do I work this in? And so I hope you know this. Your 2 cents are worth 2 cents here. And you don't have to agree with me, and I don't have to agree with you. And we can still walk away friends. Look, I don't care how many atheists I stand in front of. They will never convince me to be an atheist. So if you have a deeply held religious belief, then you ought to be able to defend it. And you shouldn't get mad and suck on your thumb and go home because somebody was talking about, could it be part of it? For me, I walk away from the show sometimes and I'm thinking, man, I've been wrong. Have I been wrong about this? Right? So raise your hand if you think that's good. Then that it's good. when you walk away, you're asking some questions. Because don't I want to know the truth. And I want the Holy Spirit to guide me to all truth. That's all I want. I want Betty and Paul and Joe. You don't have to agree with me. Hell, I don't know. I'm just a guy sitting in the basement with some lights, and I don't know. Two cents is worth two cents here, okay? And I'll never, ever shun you because I don't agree with your theology. I just want you to know that. And I would just ask you to give us the same courtesy. Don't leave just because you disagree. Let's not turn it into a fight. But again, ask ourselves, how can there be 42,000 denominations? I'm going to dive into some of this stuff today. This is so good. Because I remembered some things about the visit yesterday. Two days ago to Kilburn. Some other things I want to point out to you that I didn't get a chance to do yesterday. Great history lesson yesterday. Great history lesson. If you missed the history lesson, share. I'm going to shut up. Joe Carrico, thanks for getting up an early morning out there in Cali, Brickia, and lead us in community this morning, Joe. Dave Allison, good to see you this morning, buddy. All of you. Paul, Betty, I see most of you. Pete, some of you folks I don't even know. I look at Victoria Hollenrake. She's clear up in like something crazy, like maybe Alaska or something. Up in the morning. Right now, Father, I ask that you would just touch her husband's shame. Healing, Lord. That's all we can do. Healing is the children's bread. I just pray that you would encourage Victoria and Shane and their children, that you would be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to them in their life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, Doug. Go ahead, Jill.
Producer? Okay, thanks. The reading this morning is 2 Corinthians 5:14-21. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead.
Wait a minute, Joe. Hang on a minute. The love of Christ constrains us? That's odd, isn't it? Go ahead.
Yeah, it makes you think with the way they start it, Paul starts it. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves.
Humanism.
But unto him which died for them and rose again.
Quit living unto yourself. Stop it. Go ahead.
Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more.
I'll tell you this. I can pick my wife out in the crowd. I know her. I know what her body looks like. Been around her a long time. I can pick her out in the crowd. But I don't know my wife, Michelle, after the flesh. I know the woman that's inside that flesh. Are you with me, folks? That's what this is telling us. It's exactly what it's telling us. Go ahead.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Wow.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Mm. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
Oh, stop there a second. Will you stop there a second? Are you kidding me? He reconciled us, and then he said, hey, here's your ministry. Go reconcile. Reconcile who? Those who are far off. Reconcile them to the Lord. They would call that being a witness, testify, a testimony. He reconciled us. Let's go reconcile others to the Lord. Go ahead, Joe. This is good.
To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them.
Is Tim in here? Tim Tuber in here? I said Tim. Tim, I could get you. Tim, not right now. Talk about what it means to impute. He didn't impute their trespasses unto them. Oh, he imputed righteousness to them. What's it mean to impute? I think that probably means to impute would be to put in, to put in, to put in. Go ahead. He put his righteousness in us. It's not our righteousness. It's his righteousness. He imputed it to us. It's Roman what, Tim? Roman 8? I think maybe Romans 8. Go ahead.
Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled unto God.
Hey, Joe, you're a smart guy. What's an ambassador?
A representative of a sovereign. He speaks for the sovereign.
Goes into a foreign country and speaks on behalf of the king, right? That's us. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're in this world, but we're not of the world. We're just passing through, right? Huh? This ain't our home. Wow. This is so clear and so deep and so easy.
For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
He made us righteous. We're not righteous. He made us righteous.
Yeah. Well, that's the reading, but that's profound, isn't it?
It is unbelievable. Unbelievable. What? Where is that, by the way? 1 Corinthians.
That was 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 21.
That is really, really deep. Really, really deep. See, the Bible says it's a mystery. Not a mystery in that we don't know it, but a mystery in that we can't explain it. It's a mystery. How that happens, I don't know. Because, see, the natural man, the guy sitting here in his chair with a big belly, I can't receive the things of the Spirit. But my spirit man can. So it's a mystery to my natural man because it don't make sense to me because he's speaking spiritual things to us, not natural things. And that's why it has to come by faith. You are righteous because why? He imputed it to you. We don't even know what that means. It isn't anything you did other than repented, said I'm sorry, and invited him in, and boom. He did something spiritually that we can't even understand. And as a result, then now we got to walk it out. We got to walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're saved. But there's a long path ahead walking that thing out. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay.
I'm not sorry. I have the right to editorialize here.
No, it's your show. Heavenly Father, we come to you again this morning with gratitude in our hearts. Grateful for what you've done for us, grateful for what you're teaching us, grateful for how you're active in our lives at this very moment. And have been our entire lives, we just didn't notice for a long time. But we're noticing now. We're seeing God winks around us, things that are happening. We don't believe in coincidence, Lord. Maybe we did it earlier in our lives, but we don't believe in it now. We see how you're setting the chessboard up and how you're moving pieces, and we're understanding more and more how you want us to be your ambassadors here. And Lord, I bring up something very troubling. I bring up Tina Peters, wrongfully imprisoned in Colorado.
Yes, let her go, Lord. Let her go.
And my understanding, Lord, is that she is quite ill. We ask that you bring a conviction to those who can affect her life now, and let her be
released. Get her out of there.
Let her be released. Let her be treated for the medical conditions that she has. And let justice come to those who have wrongfully done these things to her. Let them feel the righteous anger of the Lord as he brings justice to them. It's not, vengeance is not our part, Lord. It's yours. We know that there's people there in that state, in the justice system and in political systems that deserve your vengeance now, Lord. But most importantly, heal her, and free her. Please, Lord. And we know that in our lives, there's things that we feel have been wronged, or our friends or loved ones have been wronged. We ask that you set these things right, Lord. Everything is in motion, Lord. You're showing us that we are not in a static world. Only those things which cannot be shaken aren't in motion, Lord. Your love cannot be shaken. That is not in motion. That is constant. And we're understanding that now. And some of us have aches and pains. We ask that now that we remember that this communion we're about to take is, it can be the meal that heals. Let us receive healing that you have purchased, paid for in advance. It's a gift to us, Lord. It's like a Christmas present in the prettiest foil wrapping and bows you've ever seen in your life, and just have to open it up and pull that gift out, that healing you have given to us, Lord. And we ask you to forgive our sins and transgressions as we come into your sight with this holy act of communion. Let us be cleansed in your sight. And Lord, we ask that you bless us bread and this drink, representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that was shed for us. And we are so grateful that we worship the one and only true God that gave his only begotten Son, that we who believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We still can't comprehend, really, the creator of the universe doing that for us. We don't feel worthy, but your word says we are worthy. So let us do our best to be so. Do our best to be the best ambassadors we can to our Lord. And we thank you for this day. We ask you to be with all of us and all of our loved ones this day and this weekend, and all of those who are, if they're traveling, keep them safe. And help us to remember to do what Jesus would do, as we are his ambassadors, when we encounter situations that we want to use a fleshly solution. Let us step back and let Jesus guide us to do his solution, his act, his words, be his ambassador. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thanks for getting up, Joe.
Superbly, sir.
Amen. 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 Oh, Lord, where did I start this morning? Okay, I heard that. Somebody's got something. You're going to start it. Somebody's going to start it. Before we do that, number one, pull up number one real quickly. Are going to be at David Heavener's event tonight, beginning tonight and tomorrow. Betty's heading her way here later on this afternoon. November 14th and 15th, Brookville, Ohio, and online, The Last Evangelist. It's a film festival. It's a calling, yada, yada, yada. And we support David Heavener and what he does. We'll be there. Betty will be there. Others will be there. Information, put it in the chat. Yes, you can live stream it. Yes, you can. And God bless David Heavener. And we stand in full support of what it is that he does. So stick that in there for me. I wanted to make sure I got that thing in there. Let me get over here. Anybody? Anybody got something want to throw on the table? I got plenty. Okay? I got plenty. Okay, let me do this first. Where does it, Lord, help me, Lord. Help me. Show me where you want me to go here. Pull up Romans 8. First one, Romans 8. King James Version. The whole creation groaneth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Friends, I want you to understand this. This is from my perspective. Every problem that we face in America, and boy, we are in the crucible. I spoke about that yesterday. We're in the crucible. There's something happening now. And every problem we face, every answer we need, is only through Christ. Politics won't save us. Donald Trump won't save us. Taking some pill isn't going to save us. The answer to our problems are spiritual. And it says in Romans 8 that the whole creation groans. Just stay with me a second here as we scroll down this. And you're welcome to come in there. I encourage this, okay? I encourage this. Get together with people you love and study the word. Don't go hide in some big church. Don't go hide in some big old church where they teach you how you get blessed. And I mean, that's all good. That's in the Bible. Don't do that. Impact those that are around you. Yeah, it's a seed war, Mel. Seed of the woman, seed of the serpent. We still don't get it. We still don't understand that we are in the midst of a cataclysmic spiritual war. And we're in a crucible. If America goes under, there's now therefore, Romans 8, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You mean to tell me it's able, you can walk by the Spirit? Right? Not be controlled by your flesh. Give me this, give me that, give me. And would you agree with me that much of the church today is flesh pleasing? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. We've got two laws going on here, don't we? We have the law of the Spirit of life, and we have the law of sin and death. They're in conflict with each other. You can't follow both laws. So the law of Spirit of life in Christ Jesus took that law of sin and death off of you. For what the law couldn't do, you can follow all the rules and regulations you want to, and you should if you want to honor the Lord, but you don't have to. What the law couldn't do because it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own son, like us, just like us. He put his son in a flesh suit and sent him down there and condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. And you, Paul Goslin, and you, Kathy Berryman, and you, Ricky Blackburn, I'm just looking down there, and you, Jeff Klein, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they who are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I've lost almost all my friends around me, friends. Because I try to walk in the Spirit. I'm not making myself holier than thou. Those two things come in conflict. You can't serve man and God. You cannot serve man and God. Wow. For they that are after the flesh do the things of the flesh. They go to churches where they talk about prosperity and all that kind of, those are flesh. That's all. Who doesn't want money? Who doesn't want money? Who doesn't work for money? Come on, we all want money. Are you motivated by money? You ever give? You hoard. but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. Wow, this is so deep. But to be spiritually minded is life. Ah, and peace. What would you pay for peace? And when you're going through the storm, what would you pay for peace? But the carnal mind, the unsaved man, is enmity. It's an enemy of God. Your carnal mind is an enemy of God. For it's not subject to the law of God. What? Your carnal mind. Neither can it be. Your mind can never fall in line with the will of God without the Spirit of God. So that they that are in the flesh, operating physically, mentally, without the Holy Spirit, cannot please God. Doesn't say they won't. It says they can't. They can't. And how many people walk into church waiting to get blessed? They go to church to get blessed. Walking in the flesh. They think they're in the Spirit. But you're not in the flesh. But in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. The Spirit of God dwells in you, then you're operating in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Your flesh is just a carrier. It's just a car that carries you around. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he ain't Christ's. Now, how many times they go to church? How many good things they do? How many times they help the poor? And if Christ be in you, then your body's dead. Oh, this is so deep. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Friends, when you die, you are the, just bear with me because this, some people are new here, okay? You're three parts. Your body, soul, spirit. Your spirit is life. Your soul is who you are, your mind, your will, your emotions, your personality. And the body is just a meat suit that carries the soul around. When you die, your spirit leaves. Your spirit leaves your body and it returns to the Creator. And your body gets put in a hole, in a box. Why they put us in boxes, I don't know. They put you in a box, in a hole. And the only thing left is your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And your mind and your will and your emotions is going to go somewhere. That's the gospel. But you don't go to heaven unless you receive the sacrifice of Christ. Real quickly. Number seven. Stay right there. This is good. Pull up number seven real quick. I'm going to come back here. Number seven. You guys look at this. Real quickly. 26 world religions. Did you know that? And what is religion? Religion is the duties and responsibilities we owe to God. So these are ways that people try to find God. Just go real quick. Go down Buddhism, atheism, Hinduism. Notice the isms, Babism, Taoism, Christianity. Well, look, we're clear down there. Confucianism, Druze, Islam, Jews, Judaism, Sikhism, Yazdanism, Jain. Ever heard any of these things? Mandaism, Shamanism, Shugendo, Taoism, Zoroastrianism, Agnostics, they don't know, Shinto, Yarzanism, Baha'i Faith. It's crazy, isn't it? Chindogyo, Dejongism, and I don't know what. Can you tell somebody? Explain to me how the hell can a country operate with all these different beliefs? Somebody told you that diversity is our greatest strength. They lied to you. Diversity isn't our strength. It's never our strength. Unity is our strength. Unity, not diversity. Yukon Yan religion. What is that? It's an indigenous belief system of the something islands. While specific legends and traditions may vary slightly from place to place and island to island, there was that crazy religion is generally characterized by ancestor worship and respecting of relationships between the living, the dead, the gods, and the spirits. Oh, that's human. That's a form of humanism, isn't it, really? Because, again, if we look at it, these all religions are there to enhance the human life, human walk. Okay, back where we were, Spence. I'm sorry. Am I doing okay, Paul? Give me a thumbs up. Wait. I'm doing okay. All right, buddy, thanks. And if you be Christ and your body's dead, already, folks, already your body's dead. Quit being controlled by your flesh. Stop it. But the spirit is life. Oh, my. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead is in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you. See, you traded your old man for a new man. An old spirit for a new spirit. For if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. But if you live through the spirit and you mortify the deeds of the body, you're going to live. Quit living to please your body. And if you would just look around, that's all media advertising is, the pleasing of the flesh. And so you sit around, you watch TV on the internet, whatever, and all of a sudden they flash something up on and say, man, I'd like to have one of those. Eye gate, ear gate, right? For as many as led by the Spirit of God, this is his boys. Does it say that or not? For as many are led by the Spirit of God, that's his boys. Hey, boy, is this for somebody out there? This is for somebody out there. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Fear is bondage. I'm going to pause right there. Right there. Because you know if a spirit of fear is controlling you. I just want you right now just to pray. Lord, deliver me from the spirit of fear. Just go ahead and say it. Don't come in the shoe. Just say it right where they are. Lord, give me the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Perfect love casteth out fear. Give me perfect love. Lord, I'm tired of being afraid. Move in my life now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. But that spirit of fear bonded you. Now, you didn't get that. You didn't get that. But you have received the spirit of adoption, or what we cry, Daddy, Daddy. And the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, evidently there's going to be some sufferings in this present time. Evidently, I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, more than conquerors. For the earnest, here it is. Oh, dudes. For the earnest expectation of the creature is waiting for the manifestation of God's men to show up. You look at Washington, D.C., you know what the problem is in Washington, D.C.? God's men haven't shown up. You know what the problem is in your local schools? God's men haven't showed up. You want to know what the problem is in your local community or whatever it is, or in your family? God's men haven't shown up. And we're at a crucible, we're at a crossroads. It's now or never. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and traileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but we do too, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan. Anybody doing any groaning within yourself? Some stuff going on in your life? Anybody out there been by groaning? Waiting for the adoption. Scroll down, Spence. waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. We are saved by hope. The hope that is seen is not hope. What a man sees, why do you hope for it? If we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. The whole creation groaneth, waiting for God's men to show up. So I just said. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Do you guys hear the Holy Spirit? Do you ever hear the Holy Spirit? Do you stop when you hear the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, I heard that? Or do you find yourself when the Holy Spirit says, pray for this person. Pray for Tom Dunn right now, folks. Tom, we all know Tom Dunn. I just got that unction from the Holy Spirit. He said, pray for Tom Dunn. Tom did a video yesterday. He's Tom Dunn. Maybe I'll get him on. He's in the midst of producing a video. He said that it is shaking him to his core. He can't sleep at night, tormenting. Lord, we just ask right now that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth and peace, would fall upon Tom Dunn, Lord. Give him rest, Lord, and give him the strength to continue the project that you've called him to in Jesus' name. Amen. How many times do you, in the course of the day, get an unction from the Holy Spirit and ignore it? Do you recognize his voice? The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. Now, wait a minute. Do you guys ever grow up in a house where your dad said, did you hear me, boy? Did you hear me, boy? Why? Because he wanted to see the action that should follow what I heard. Do you hear me, boy? I wonder how many times the Holy Spirit wants to say, do you hear me, boy? I told you to pray. Do you hear me, boy? It's good, isn't it? Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. What does the Spirit? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What if the answer to somebody's prayer is you? Phone call, send them $20, take them out to eat, encourage them. How many times during the course of your, look, I'm talking to me now. How many times during the course of the day do you get an unction? You know, I ought to call somebody and then don't. You know, I was thinking, wonder how he's doing. Well, call him. Why don't you? You might be his answer. You may not want to do it because you're too worried about you. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Look at that. Mind of the Spirit? Did you guys ever see that before? And we that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Because he maketh intercession. Who does? The Spirit. For the saints according to the will of God, not according to your will. We know all things work together for good. To them that love God. To them who are called according to his purpose. And let me tell you something. They lied to you in church. Because his purpose may not be good for you. May not be good for you. But it's his purpose. For somebody else. Maybe he's going to throw you in jail to get six other guys saved. For whom he did foreknew, he also did predestinate. Destined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Let me ask you something, Christian. How many brethren have you brought into the kingdom? You might be the firstborn among many brethren. How many you brought in? But you don't bring them in. You testify. You witness. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. And whom he called, then he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not freely give us all things, as long as with his will? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's people? It's God that justifies you. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, that is risen again, and who is even at the right hand of God, who also make intercession for the God. Christ is making intercession for you by the Holy Spirit. Who shall separate? Oh, whoa. Not what shall separate us. Who? Because it's the who's that bring the separation, not the what's. The who's bring the what's. Who shall separate us from love of Christ? Tribulation? Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Are you kidding me? It's written for the sick. We're all killed all day long. We're just sheep to the slaughter. But no. In all these things, not outside of them. In all these things. What? Persecution, tribulation, distress, famine, nakedness, peril. So in all those things, you're more than conqueror. You're not a conqueror if you're not in one of those things. You get it? For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Dudes, you want a religious philosophy? But there it is, baby. There it is, Romans 8. Wow. I know where I was going to go. I'm going to stop a minute because I sense somebody's got something to say. I was going to build a little bit on something we talked about yesterday. Come on in. That's good, wasn't it? Isn't that good? By the way, unplanned. You guys just witnessed the Holy Spirit at work. You understand that? The Holy Spirit gave me the unction to do that. I was sitting up in the chair, and the Holy Spirit said, Romans 8. Huh? Wait. My sheep hear my voice. I heard it. Romans 8? Why? Because somebody out there needed it. Yeah, don't even get into the message on it, man. I put the message in there. So here we sit, and evidently nobody wants to come in. You will, I know, here in a second. Every solution that we have in America, every solution is the manifestation of the sons of God. God's people showing up. That's it, man. That's it. And so what are we allowed to happen? We've allowed, because we're called to be the salt of the earth, light of the world. If you remove the salt and you remove the light, you get darkness and you get decay. You would all agree with that, right? And somewhere along the line, the enemy came along and started in 1947 when they said there was a separation between the church and state, and they removed Christianity from the minds of the people. Particularly the children. To the point, I wonder how many of you out there, me, I'm talking to me, have prodigals. So how'd that happen? We raised Tommy better than that. How'd that happen? Well, we let the enemy creep in. Humanism, secular humanism. They let it, We let them tell us that humanism wasn't a religion. Humanism is nothing more than man as the end all. No God. Go for the gusto. Get all you can. If it feels good, do it. Tune in, turn on, drop out. God is dead. Humanism became the American religion. Would anybody deny that? Would anybody deny right now today in America, humanism is the national religion? Humanism being what? Nothing more than serving yourself. You are God. And we can run down that trail, what it produced, all that kind of stuff. Well, let's go back to Romans 8. What does it say? We lose. We're out of here. It's a rapture. Anything we're going to do about it? End times. It's bad. Coach. No. That's not what it says. Paul said they're all out there waiting for God's people to show up. Manifestation of the sons of God. You son of God? Are you a son of God? Well, dude, show up. Sign up for duty. They're all waiting for you. All you got to do is walk out your freaking door. They're so lost out there. They're so lost. Why? Because I don't have enough time to get into all this humanism stuff. The Supreme Court of the United States, by a vote of 6-3, said Christianity no longer welcome in America. Humanism, not a religion. And we all swallowed it. And they said to Christians, keep your morality to yourself. Don't teach the Ten Commandments. Don't teach Christianity anymore, because there's a new sheriff in town, Mr. Humanism. And humanism is taught in every school in America and most churches. We make it feel okay in the churches because God wants us to be blessed. And because God wants us to be blessed, then it's okay for us to make religion all about us. Because God wants me to be blessed. God died for me. No. God died to advance a kingdom. Jesus Christ died to advance a kingdom, not to bless little old you. You understand how humanism's crept into the church? Christian humanism, probably what we're all called. Secular humanism simply means no God, no formal God, and you're God. He's heavy. Come on, Ray.
Coach, what you've done on that, going to that school, the Lord put it in my heart to really pray for you that that door opens wide open. Dude. Because the testimony that you bring to those kids, as you explain it to us, is so powerful. That there's a door there that needs to be swung wide open. And Father, I just pray that you continue to use Coach Dave Dobmeier in this realm, Lord God, just to open up more floodgates.
Thank you, Lord.
Because these kids need it more than anything. And they're not getting that message as clear as Coach can bring it. And I pray you just put a blessing and an anointing over him to open up more doors and avenues for him to enter.
Amen. In.
Amen, in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, amen. Hey, Ray, why do you think the ACLU is an anointing on me? Why do you think the ACLU fought so hard? Why do you think that the Luciferians here at our local school district, why did they fight so hard to block me from getting in front of their children?
Exactly, because exactly what you're doing is you're tearing down their kingdom and you're raising up God's kingdom.
That's right. And can I tell you something, Ray? Those young kids want to believe it. They want to believe it. But they never hear it. They go to a youth group. What do you say? I'm not being critical. Yes, I am. Being critical of youth groups. I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. Fellowship of Christian Athletes. You guys heard of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes? Big, big national. Huh? By the way, it was a branch. I think it started as Focus on the Family. I think it started as a branch, Focus on the Family, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And my good friend, dear friend, best buddy, Norm Emmons, is working hard right now to start a Fellowship of Christian Athletes at the school where he's still teaching, still in there hammering away, doing a great, great job. And he's trying to get a Fellowship of Christian Athletes to get in there. But folks, listen, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, somebody help me out here. Aren't ours as marching soldiers? Shouldn't the fellowship of Christian athletes be marching throughout their school, declaring Christ is king? Or is it just a club we get together? Is LifeWise, Betty, is LifeWise just a club where we take the Christians on a red bus off campus? Heaven forbid we would ever go invade the school and teach them the gospel of the king. Heaven forbid we would ever do that. See, look, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just telling you we're conditioned. We're programmed. They told us we're not allowed to do this. Can I show you something else here? This is off target. Hang on. Bear with me a second. Bear with me. This is unbelievable. Somebody said, Spencer, I'm going to send this to you. Make sure I get it. Okay. I know you guys don't know this. I know you don't. So I'm going to send this to Spencer right now. Because in the after show, those of you who didn't make the after show yesterday, talked about my pass the salt here, Coach Dave Liven's kind of our finances and that kind of stuff and yada, 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 and 501c3 and yada, yada. How many of you, I'm sending it to Spencer right now. How many of you out there have ever heard of a 508c, which, by the way, is what Pass the Salt Ministries is. Coach Dave, Pass the Salt Fellowship is a 508 for the IRS. Now, hang on. Spencer's going to throw, I'll get you, Jeff. I'll see you. Spencer's going to throw this up there. How many of you know this? Do you know that your church, probably where you go, do you know that your church is probably a 501c3, which means you have to report everything you do to the government? And so when somebody starts a church, they start a 501c3. It's the first thing they tell you you have to do. So that even though there's a separation of church and state, the government still controls you. Well, did you guys know that there was such a thing as a 508c? A 508c? What is a 508c? Folks, I'll put it in the chat. You can do this. Hey, friends, a 508c so what is a 506? Second one. Faith-based organizations, type of a private membership organization, private ministerial organization. It's a religious, nonprofit, tax-exempt organization that is recognized in all 50 states. 508c1s may be used to form a church or other religious organization, but it could also be appropriate for other businesses if they fit the criteria. Many people use a 508 tax exemption. What? Say that again. I can get a 508 tax exempt, start a church, and not have to report everything to the government? Are you kidding me? There it is. Put it in the chat. Start your own fellowship. Tax deductible. Folks, the government, if there's a separation between the church and state, then the government ain't got no business knowing what the church does with their money. Benny, give me a boom. Somebody give me a boom. We are so programmed. The devil creeps in everywhere that he can. See, a 501c3 was good when the government was somewhat good. Now they aren't anymore. And so because you're a 501c3, put this in it. Scroll down there. Look at some of these headlines here. What's the difference? Tells you what the difference is. Key features of the 501c. In other words, can you give, look, are you looking at me? Pass the Salt Fellowship that you're watching right now is a 508. We refiled. We used to be a 501c3. And we refiled as a 508. And now what we do here ain't any of the government's damn business. Did you know legally you can do that? Did you know that? Do they tell you that? Go to your pastor and ask your pastor, is he a 501c3? Where you got to report every expense and everything to the government? To the government? Want to protect your organization with 508? They tell you how to do it. Coach Dave, Pass the Salt Ministries is a 508. We have to report to the government and tell them we're here. But other than that, ain't none of their damn business. Come on in, Jeff. Put that in the chat for anybody who might be interested. Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, you're talking about Coach Norm?
Yeah.
What we ought to do, it'd be really probably helpful, is hook him up in a conversation with John Freshwater. He probably needs to talk to him. And I say that because here's a couple quick things that happened with that thing. 21 years school teacher, twice teacher of the year. Thousands over the years loved John Freshwater. 17 years as the administrator for the kids for FCA.
the largest FCA in the state of Ohio. The day that they fired him for Bible on the desk and supposedly lies, burning crosses on kids, he had 600 kids carry Bibles to school that day. 600 kids carrying Bibles in their hands. And then they went and met at the Rock out front when the news media showed up. 900 kids met to stand for this man. They loved him, didn't want him fired, but the government spent $1.3 million to destroy him.
He's got a punch. It wasn't John Freshwater. They wanted to destroy the gospel. They didn't, they didn't want the gospel going forth. Charlie Kirk preached the gospel and they killed him. But folks, John Freshwater preached the gospel successfully and they fired him on a lie, on the lie of the separation between the church and state. And so are we ever going to fight back?
And if you remember, that was Barack Obama's attorney that came to Mount Vernon, Ohio to destroy him.
Yep.
That's incredible.
That Muslim freak, That Muslim freak. Christians are so stupid, they thought Obama was one. That's how stupid Christians are. Come on in, Joe.
On the church and state lie, they really, really don't even do any research on it. Every one of the 13 initial states had a state religion.
We went through that yesterday, Joe. We went through that yesterday. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, every one of them. They were afraid of.
They were denominations. The states were denominations, folks.
Yeah, they didn't want a church of the United States of America. That's the only reason for that statement there. And if everybody else that keeps hanging their hat on it is brain dead or a liar or both.
I'm telling you, man, I got so much stuff up here. Let me throw this up here because I missed this yesterday, Joe. Hey, Spencer, pull up number six because this wasn't in our debate yesterday that I gave to you. The Supreme Court case, Turcaso versus Watkins, 1961, was the first Supreme Court case that ruled against religion. Remember, we talked yesterday, organic law? There it was, Turcaso versus Watkins. Scroll down a little bit, just a second, if you can. Tells you what it was all about. Turcaso versus Watkins, back in 1961, they wanted you to have to be a Christian to run for office. And the guy would not put his hand on the Bible and swear his hand on the Bible. And Turcaso versus Watkins said, you don't have to do that. You don't have to put your hand on the Bible, and you can be whatever religion you want to be. That started it. Remember there was George Burns in the movie, Oh God? Anybody remember that old movie? He put his hand on the Bible and sweated an oath, and then at the end of the oath says, so help me, me. So help me, me, because he was God. So help me, me. That's humanism. I can do whatever I want to, so help me, me. I swear to me. That's what we're teaching kids. That's what we're teaching them in school. Hey, want to teach kids about Christ? Get them on a red bus and call Betty and she'll drive them off campus for you. So we can secretly teach them. And the Bible says, can two walk together unless they agree? How can we as American citizens walk together if we can't believe, we can't agree on who the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is? How can we possibly? That's where we are. But here's the good news. I'm about out of time. The whole creation's waiting for God's people to show up. And I believe the greatest revival that the world has ever seen is right in front of us. Let's walk out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Let's be the salt of the earth and light of the world that Christ called us to be. What's the promise? They're going to hate you. Have a great weekend. See you Monday.